ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Chapter number 16 entitled A Description of Jambavi. Text number 23. It's a prose. Yahi upayunyanam mukhanirvasito vayu samantak chatayojanam anuvaseti. What do I mean? Which those flows of honey?
Upayunjanam
of those who drink. Mukha nirvashita vayu. The air emanating from the mouths.
Samantat.
All around. Satayojana.
Up to 100 yojanas.
800 miles.
Anuvashayati.
Makes sweetly flavored. Translation. The air carrying the scent from the mouths of those who drink that honey perfumes the land for 100 yojanas around. This is the previous text we're talking about. On the side of Superswa mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very celebrated. From the aloes of this tree flow 5 rivers of honey, each about 5 vyamas wide. This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Superswa mountain and flows all around Ilavarta Varsha. I think Ilavarta is the left hand side of the Meru mountain. The Meru is there, and then the left hand side, I think the 4 trees which is guiding us like a support to that, you know, Mount Meru. And each tree is what is Kadamba tree, then we have mango tree. So I think this is one side. So this is just the context. We'll go to the next verse. There is no point to the previous text. Text 24. Evam kumuda niruda ya satavalso nama vatas tasya skandebhyo nichina payodati madhu krata udanadi ambara saya sana varanadayaha sarva eva kama duga naraha kumuda grat patantastam utarenala vratam ubayo janayanti. Translation. Similarly, on Kumuda mountain, there is a great banyan tree which is called Satavalsa because it has 100 main branches. From those branches come many roots from which many rivers are flowing. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of the Ilavrata Varsha for the benefit of those who live there. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, clarified butter, ghee, molasses, food grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity, and therefore they are very happy. Purport. The prosperity of humanity does not depend on a demonic civilization that has no culture and no knowledge, but has only gigantic skyscrapers and huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. The products of nature are sufficient. When there is profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, food grains, ghee, molasses, dhoti, saris, bedding, sitting places and ornaments, the residents are actually opulent. When a profuse supply of water from the river inundates the land, all these things can be produced and there will not be scarcity. This all depends, however, on the performance of sacrifice as described in the Vedic literature. Anat bhavanti bhutani parjanya anna sambhava yajna bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhava. All living entities subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. These are the prescription given in Bhagavad Gita 3.14. If people follow this principle in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous and they will be happy both in this life and in the next. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Sakshurunmulitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manohadrishtam Sthapitanyena Bhutale Swayam Loka Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sarvana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Savitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvana Dalita Sri Vishakamitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavana Sura Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Besha Kripa Sundhu Deye Vacha Patitanam Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Sri Lingam blessing of all devotees. I have to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So here, talking about the banyan tree, so a similar description is given in Bhagavad Gita as well. Bhagavad Gita talks about the banyan tree. Which chapter?
15th
chapter. So banyan tree is very complicated structure if you ever come across a banyan tree. And interesting, the banyan tree which is given in the 15th chapter also, the roots are upwards and the branches are down. And it is like interlocked, and the water that is supplied to the root, as in the three modes of material nature. And the you can see the different pictures, different people trying to enjoy the fruit of the tree. Tree is, if you see in the Vedic scripture, tree has been used as many analogy. To develop a quality like tolerant, you need to be like a tree, taro riva, sahishna. And then the tree is also in a portrait as giving one of the, it's giving as a shelter. Even Krishna says, among the trees, I am the banyan tree, right? And if you see the other side of the same banyan tree has been used to describe the complexity of this material world or the entanglement. Because that's you know, like a person jumping from one branches to another branch. From one body to another body, trying to enjoy the fruits of his result, the karmic result and other thing. He's trying to enjoy the fruity, the economic development or, you know, sense gratification. He's trying to take religious activities so that his desire get fulfilled. He get more opulence so that he can do sense gratification and so on and so forth. But then Krishna says that you need to be determined to cut down these branches of this tree. One of the section in I think Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Prabhupada writes, if one person is not determined, then even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot save one from Maya. So, interesting statement Prabhupada writes actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhilila. So then, the determination is there to, but then how one get determination, if you really see, the determination comes when we have that internal will of conviction that we are servant of Krishna, our sadhana, our strict on regulative principle, and the sense control, mind control actually enhance. In generally, you know, when a devotee is there, the materialistic way of thinking, they think that we lack determination, we lack willpower. Because according to them, we are not showing any sign of interest of what the way of life they are living. So definitely they think that, you know, you just gave up on material life because you couldn't able to fight or you couldn't able to take up the challenge. But actually, becoming a devotee is the boldest thing in anyone's life. Actually, you have to face the external challenges of society, community, relatives, friends, and everything. And then one has to battle the internal challenges which is arising from one's own mind and body. The demands of the mind is very pushing. The demands of the mind is very, you know, demanding. So a devotee, when he becomes a devotee, is taking a next level. Because if you go outside, people ask people, do you have any principle on which you live in your life? Is there any guidelines? Do you follow how you conduct your life? No, it's like, what do you mean by that? You know, we are like free spirit. We like to do what I want to do, and I don't you know, what is this nonsense? Yeah. And then on top of that, if you say you have to follow four regulative principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and then you have to chant certain number of rounds, you follow certain principle that you live by this guideline, I stick to this. So that actually makes them think crazy. Because if you see from an animalistic point of view, from animal, like whatever you like to do, whenever I like to do, whatever I do, whenever, wherever, doesn't matter. It's an instinct basis. I like to do, so I like to do. And there is no one to stop me. And especially when you are away from family, from friends and everything, then you have a more opportunity and you have more of choice to experience or get some fiddling. You know, you like to fiddle with the material energy. So then what happens? Then you get more suffering, basically. So then there is no as such principle, basically. Krishna consciousness is more of a process. It's more of a lifestyle. It's more of a, we say, you know, Krishna consciousness is about a marathon. It's not like a sprint. Okay, we become devotees and then go. So, the incident, so Prabhupada also wanted, you know, his devotees to be following and be Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada used to tell this word again and again, take it, you know, if you see Prabhupada lecturer. So it's like, you know, he's presenting such a way that, you know, it is already given. And the devotees, if you see really, the quality of devotee is that he is compassion, at the same time he is also patient. Because when a person is coming from a background of where he don't have any idea of spirituality or lifestyle living, then we need some kind of patience to come on board. This you can see. From the when Prabhupada started this movement, and then when he was in San Francisco, then devotees were coming, all the hippies and all the people from all walks of all background, and they were coming, but Prabhupada was so tolerant, because they were committing mistake and they were not able to do, they don't know what they're doing. So, Prabhupada was very patient and very compassionate. So, they could understand when the same devotees, when they stay in the movement for many years, they could understand what actually Prabhupada is. Because if you really see a sannyasi who is in India, we also feel that when you go to a dirty place or when you're meeting with a person who is no standard, we feel, you know, awkward. Oh, how can I stay here? I have to move away from this place. Or I cannot stay here. But if you see the Prabhupada life or the journey, it is completely opposite of what we think. We like to keep the place clean. We like to keep everything clean. We like to, you know, we say discriminate people, associate with good people, don't have the negative thing, don't associate with the materialistic person. But everything was broken. And he was so compassionate to bring that people on that level. So then one needs the determination to cut this material attachment. This is the main theme of, if you see Bhagavad Gita, the last 6th chapter, it talks about the material energy or the prakriti. Bhagavad Gita talks about 5 subject matter, who we are and what is our activities, that is our karma, and where we are, this is very important, and is anything above what we see, that is God, and how the working of the time. But the main is where we are, you know. You could also say this is like the sambandha. If you say sambandha, abhidaya, prayojan. First you have to understand where you are. Like if you want to go to a taxi to a place or something, first you have to know, even in Google you have to put, it will ask for where you want to start your journey and then where you want to go. And then they will give you an option how you want to go, by car, by walk or by bus, like that. So these 3 things are very important in any walk of life. Even if you are doing a business or something, you should understand where you are at the moment, what is your goal and how to get that goal. And even your studies or wherever. So this principle can be applied. So similarly, the samandha, we have to understand, okay, what are we doing here? What is this place made out of? Why am I here? So that part we have to understand, so that we can move into the next step. So where Krishna gives that information of how the living entity is struggling in this conditioned world. And then Krishna gives a glimpse of the, like for example in the 8th chapter, attaining the supreme. Krishna speaks about the spiritual world. He talks about the material world. He gives a comparative study. He tells, from Brahma to small ant, everyone has to take birth. Abhuvana, Brahma, Loka, Punaravartini, Arjuna. You have to take birth. And because, this is very struggle. And Krishna says, if you take bhakti, then you don't have to come to this place which is Dukalayam and Ashashwatam. And then he talks about this material world. And then he tells, Arjuna, don't worry. There is another place. There is no electricity required. It's a permanent, no temporary, no miseries. And then, Prabhupada beautifully writes a purport actually. He talks about the spiritual world, how Krishna is dressed, how Krishna is actually looking, what is the color of Krishna, what color dhoti he wears, what you see Surabhi cows, you see the Chintamani stones, you see all the beautiful of the description of the. And then Prabhupada says, this is just a glimpse, if you want more, it's there in 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is one, get the idea like a window to the spiritual world. Actually, the devotees, the great acharyas are like the windows. They can actually reveal. It's not that they're saying, because they have seen the truth. If you see, they can describe the whole beauty of Krishna or the pastime of Krishna. So we get that where we want to go and how do we, the process is given. Similarly, we understand we have to understand this material world in such a way that how it is complicated. This is very much described in the last 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, just Jnana Yoga, especially the 3 modes of material nature. Because once we know how we are stuck badly, then we can work out the detail of getting out of it. We should understand. Like it's like someone is giving you a question paper. If you don't know what is the question is, or you cannot understand what the question is, how can we write answer? First thing is we have to understand the question. If some questions are there, you will get bewildered. What is there? Where they are asking? Which? This is just this subject or some other subject? If you don't know the question properly, then it's very difficult to answer correct. So that's why we also include that. In Bhagavatam, if you see, creation is also one of the aspects. Sarga, Visarga, Poshanam, Sthanam, Manu, all those details are given. Because it is actually related to Krishna. So Prabhupada says,
Like we are very much concerned about Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a Dharma Kshetra, Guru Kshetra. We are not concerned about any other war fields. We are only concerned about Kurukshetra because Krishna was present. Isn't it? We are concerned about certain things because there is an involvement of Krishna in that. Then that becomes spiritualization. That becomes spiritualization. So that's why we are not anywhere, interested in any other war in the history. There are so many wars in the history. If you see history, they are full of wars. This fought, Alexander the fought, Napoleon the fought, this one, that guy. So many people are there. But we are not, you know, spending time on research of how they fought, what they fought, where they fought, this one. But we are interested in Kurukshetra war. Why? Because Krishna is involved in that. Similarly, when we see that this creation is part of Krishna's energy, then that will enhance our bhakti. But the moment when we see the creation is apart from God or Krishna, then that will not have any effect on our heart or consciousness. So that's why scientists say they are only interested in the energy, but they are not interested in the energetic person. Because they are only fascinated by the energy of the Lord. They are not interested who is behind this energy. Krishna says, Maya Dakshana Prakrite Suyate Sa Charachara. Maya Dakshana. These energies are working under my supervision. Krishna has multifarious energies. So many energies he has. You know, he talks about the 7th chapter. He talks about the external energy, internal energy, and then marginal, the living entities are there. So many energies are there. But then, we have to understand that Krishna is the person where everything is coming from. At the same time, he is not attached or he is not controlled by the energy. It's like the lotus. The lotus is actually coming from the water or the muddy place where filth is there. But then if you see, the water or the dirt doesn't affect the lotus because the lotus acts in the wax. Krishna says also, I have no action. I have no duty prescribed me. I don't belong to any varna or ashram. Even though I created this system. Krishna says, I produce this energy, but they act under my control. Devi eshi gunamai, no maya durateya. These energies are divine, but they work according to my direction. So this description of the creation and the description of the planetary system and the description of avatar or the manus or everything is related to Krishna. That's how the Bhagavatam is present. The Bhagavatam is about Krishna and Krishna's devotees who are the pure devotees of the Lord. This is included. Krishna, when absolute truth, we were talking a few days back, absolute truth means includes the energy and the supreme. That's why we say Panchatattva, absolute truth. Even the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first verse, if you see the Adivina first chapter, it starts about the description of the absolute truth. The absolute truth is described in six, you know, is presented in six aspects. Aspects. It's presented in six aspects. What are they? That is the Lord Himself, and the Lord Incarnation, the Lord Manifestation, and the Lord's energy, and the Jiva, the living entities, and the Guru. Six are there. Guru, living entities, Guru Tattva, Guru is there. The spiritual masters, Gurun. Even the Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami offer his obeisances to the spiritual master. The first chapter is the spiritual master, the description of the spiritual master. Basically the first verse, then he talks about the spiritual master, how Siksha, Diksha, Guru. So he pays obeisances, he offers prayer and glorification of the spiritual master, which is very important. And then he thanks, he felt very grateful toward the spiritual masters. Then he explained one by one the energies of the Lord, the manifestation, the incarnations of the Lord, and the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself, Ishan, that is the Supreme Lord Himself. So when he comes Him and the energies, just like the sun. If you see the sun, when you see the sun, that means you are seeing the sunlight as well. The sun and the sunlight both are visible, isn't it? You cannot have something which is no heat and light, and you cannot call that a sun. Right? At the same time, if you call it sun, then it has to have eternal life. You cannot separate these two entities from that, right? So he is like the sun. And even this is very commonly used. If you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, the sun and the moon, the lords are compared to the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon, because if you see, this place needs some illumination. Material world means dark place. Material world means dark place. So that then you know what people usually do in dark place, nonsense. So when the place is dark, you need some illumination, that's where the sun and moon appear. The sun and the moon to dissipate the darkness or the ignorance. And this is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. If you see Bhagavad Gita, the main purpose is to remove the ignorance or to lift the mankind from the nuisance of ocean of nuisance. And this was bewildered. Arjuna was put into situation, right? Arjuna was, you know, even in the first chapter, Arjuna was portrayed as a pure devotee. He is very soft in heart. Even though he has some delusion of what to be done, he don't know what to do. But still, he had that mind control and has the ability to surrender, to ask help from Krishna. And this is the main, actually, if you see really, that everyone knows, okay, perplexity comes, anxiety comes, problem is going to come, I'm going to have problem. This everyone knows in material world. But then, how many people have a courage and humility to ask help? That's where the difference comes when Arjuna, because Prabhupada writes, Arjuna, even though he is delusional, he couldn't able to make a decision, but then he had that mind control of surrendering to Krishna and asking for help. The first part is everyone clear. Okay, fine. I am having problem, anxiety, but I will figure it out. You know, I know what to do. I have control in my life. So then that's where the problem comes. So then what happened? Then different problem comes. So they forget that one, that the problem or the perplexity is like the forest fire. It happens by itself without anyone pursuing it. It happened by itself like a forest fire. But then one needs to get the knowledge from the right source. Any walk of life, if you have immigration problem, if you have education problem, or if you have some lawyer problem or anything, we want an expert. We want to go to a consultant. We want to get the expert in that field to solve our problem. If you want to do our tax or reduce our tax, we go to a tax consultant. So everything in walk of life, we want someone who is expert to solve our problem. But then when we have problem in life, we want to figure it out ourselves. So this is an illusion. This is our madness. This is not kripana. This is called kripana. Kripana means you have the ability to inquire about that absolute truth and get solution for the government problem, but still you chose to not do it. So you don't want to do it. So that means you are ignorant. So the Lord is presenting in Bhagavad Gita saying, but then he comes as a sun and the moon, like the Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda, to illuminate that. So that is the moon. This description is given that the Chaitanya is compared as the moon, Chandra, Mayapur Chandra, Chandra. And the Nityananda Prabhu, all other associates are also considered as Chandra. This moon is so beautiful. The most beautiful creation in the world is the moon. The moon is so beautiful. So then everyone is moon, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the principal moon. It's like we have our moon, which is a natural satellite of planet Earth, right? Which goes around Earth. According to scientific, not by cosmology, anything. We don't want to get into that. But according to the scientific, that natural satellite, moon. And then it goes around the Earth. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the natural, the principal moon who is bright. And then all other moons are going around or associating. Or the associates are the other moons who are illuminating the material world. So here you see, Prabhupada writes, The prosperity of the humanity does not depend on demand and civilization that has no culture and no knowledge, but has only gigantic skyscrapers and huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. This is a classic. If you see, history is repeating. Even Ravan wants to build a skyscraper to heaven. Steps. Prabhupada writes that this is basically the expression of mode of passion. In Bhagavad Gita, if you see, on the mode of passion, people like to build skyscraper and they take pride of it. They take more pride. See my high building, you know how high, how tall it is. I'm going to build so high and so tall. And then they work hard, like, you know, ass which has foam in the mouth. Because that is the mode of passion. Working hard and showing. But then you build that, no one is going to be there inside. And little any earthquake, little crack happens, all the building is evacuated. And these skyscrapers are there to, you know, for what? It's like a concrete jungle. You say, like concrete jungle. There's so much big skyscrapers, but they don't have any culture or knowledge. Demonic civilization. Demonic civilization is what? Demonic civilization is I, mine. I am the center. I am the owner. I am the lord of what I provide. And I like to take control. And whoever comes against me, he is my enemy. And I'm sure I will finish him off. So that's the mood, that's the situation of the big skyscrapers. Huge automobiles always rushing down the highways. The products of nature are sufficient. When there is profuse supply of milk, yogurt, honey, fruit, grains, ghee, molasses, dhoti, saris, bedding, seating place and ornaments, the residents are actually opulent. This is a natural setup. Whatever is naturally is given. And naturally available. Dhoti, saris, overrides. Prabhupada actually, when he was doing the first marriage was conducted in New York between Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki Mataji. So Prabhupada was doing this marriage ceremony and it was a small room in his home, in his apartment he was doing. Prabhupada did the initiation and the next day he wants to do a marriage and no one knows what is marriage and so it is interesting. Yamuna Mataji is writing that the marriage, you know, trying to explain to Shyam Sundar Prabhu when they're meeting in San Francisco, she was saying the marriage is nothing but it's like the room filled with smoke and the fire in the center and people throw banana in it. That is the Indian marriage. So they don't have any clue actually what is happening here, but then they're fascinated. They're fascinated. Prabhupada, you have to wear a dhoti, you have to wear a sari, and then Mataji got some red sari. She was wearing that. Don't know how to tie and everything. You know, imagine. You know, these people they don't have any clue of it. And then the Prabhupada is there, and then Prabhupada actually. He didn't have much sets of clothes for him. Might have two set, whatever, you know, little. He had that cap, cotton cap, and then simple sannyasi clothes, you know. Imagine Prabhupada, we never hear, you know, Prabhupada took like 20 kilo checking baggage of clothes or anything while he's traveling or something. Just too black. So Prabhupada, what he did is, he tore one of his dhoti, whatever cloth, you know, imagine, he tore, and then he used that cloth to tie the knot between the groom and the bride that you stayed together. Can you imagine that, you know, a person who don't have anything and whatever clothes he tore about that just to, you know, make them, you know, there's some clothes he required to tie. So he tore that off and then he tore the, you know, he tied that one. And he said, okay, you stay together like this, you know, for lifelong. So that is, and then when he was conducting the next marriage, Malati Mataji and Shyam Sundar Prabhu, they don't even have butter to light up the fire for marriage. They don't even have butter. We talk about so much opulences in Prabhupada. Right? They don't even have butter. This is the situation of, you know, what the movement started. And they used margarine. They don't even know. They thought, okay, instead of butter, margarine is cheap. So they bought the margarine and come to and kept that. When this is a marriage between Yamuna Mataji and Gurudasur, there is another incident between Shyamasundar and Guru Maharaj. So then margarine was there, and then the same dress which Janaki Mataji used, that sari was given to Yamuna Mataji. They don't have sari. Then the same sari was given to them, and then she was wearing and sitting, and then Prabhupada was starting, you know, with the stick and everything, and then it's not lighting up. And then Prabhupada said, okay, this is going to be a, you know, late start. This marriage is going to be a late start. Then what happened? One time, the first time, you know, when Shyamasundar Prabhu was getting married, they don't have any idea. He said marriage was set, the fire was there. And then Prabhupada said, pay obeisances. Obeisances like that. They heard, blow it out. So they came next to the fire and they started blowing. The fire hopped. And there was, no, not blow. Obeisances. Prabhupada made them. And then they got married. And they don't have any clue. Like, imagine, like, you know, room full of smoke. And then fire, and then you were asked to put banana in the middle, that is marriage done. So they don't know anything. But one thing they know, they got the affection of Srila Prabhupada. That is the main thing. Prabhupada was so affectionate, so compassionate, and that actually moved them. Like the devotees, Prabhupada was, when Prabhupada saw that devotees are leaving, or Prabhupada was at, you know, behind the temple, he was in the apartment, and then from this window he was saying, say, you see the new initiates, they were smoking. So Prabhupada was a little upset. And anyway, so that is a great person who had so much compassion. And to, so the ghee, dhoti, saris, bedding, these are naturally available. Naturally available. If you want sweet, or if you want some bitter, or if you want some tasty, pungent, every flavor, everything is available. This is a variety. This variety is the mother of enjoyment. We heard that, right? Even though how can we have, you know, this the earth is saying that earth is there. And different seed, different things are coming out. This is amazing. If you really thought about it, orange tastes different, apple tastes different, rain same, the land is same, moonlight is same. But then how that changes, you know, so many flavors and everything. So if we can see varieties in this material world, how can we deny variety in the spiritual world? Mayavadi is there, the philosophy is one of the philosophy that they don't like variety. Everything is one. How can we say that? We can see so much variety here. So then this all depends on how the performance of sacrifice as described in the Vedic literature. So if you see, all living entities subsides on food grain, which are produced from rain. Rains are produced by performance of yajna of sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. This is Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter. So basically, performance of yajna, we are not, you know, meant to do the big karmakanda yajna or anything. Our yajna is sankirtan yajna. Prabhupada writes again and again in this section, our sacrifice is sankirtan yajna, which is started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sankirtan yajna, nam sankirtan. We have to do the sankirtan. We come together and glorify the Lord. That is our sacrifice. Our words are like the, you know, pouring into our ear. Our ear is like the yajna kum. We chant and we do the sankirtan yajna. These are the prescriptions given in Bhagavad Gita. If people follow this principle in full Krishna consciousness, human society will be prosperous. And they will be happy both in this life and in the next. Simple. One has to do sacrifice, which is sankirtan yajna. And this natural setup. The most of the farm community is what we develop is for the sustainability. That we want our own small land where we can cultivate, and we have our cows which gives a milk. What else is required for to live? But then we make our complicated. We have that idea that
economic development and then urbanization. We bring everyone together in that place and make it as a city and artificially inflate the prices. The natural items which is not produced in the factory, what happened? They make it artificially inflation because of demand, because of unnecessarily, you know, we are grouping. So then what happened? This one, we need to show an example. The whole Varnashram, the whole farm community, we want to show an example to the people how to live a life, simple living and high thinking. Yes, we live in the city for what? To save the souls of the Kali Yuga. Preaching. City is meant to preach because that's where the people are going to come. We are going to preach to them. And the farm community is an example of our principle, of our teaching, of how to show how practically we can show to the world how can we live sustainably, how can we live simple living and at the same time high thinking and God civilization. So that's what the purpose is. I'll stop here and see if anyone has any questions or correction or comments. This section will not expect more question, I think. You understand the question first. Then ask doubt. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.